Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. There is a theme for each event. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on February 17th, 2015 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. 10 storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, adventure. This week's story comes to us from Kevin Bassett and is titled, Pushing the Comfort Zones in Ecuador. Thank you for listening.
Oh man, so my bio is way more boring than any of these guys. It was like a cover letter or something like that. There's a little bit of background to my story. My girlfriend Liz and I last winter went to Ecuador and Peru for 3.5 months. And so this is kind of where this story starts. So we were on a backpacking trip, right? And so we're about halfway through this backpacking trip, and Liz and I are looking down this waterfall, and we're almost like kind of relieved because it's just been dumping rain. And we're staring down this, like, 700-foot waterfall that's just plunging to this hanging valley, and we can see the stream just ripping along, like, white water, to another large waterfall. And, you know, we're just like, oh, man, thank God. There's no way that, like, the trail could be this bad. Like, despite the nonstop puddles and the fact that the whole trail for the past 7 miles was pretty much just a creek, and if you try to avoid the creek, you step into moss that goes to your knee. So we're like, oh, okay, yeah, like, this trail's ridiculous, but there's no way it's that ridiculous, right? And that was when I noticed the Starburst-esque candy wrapper about 25 feet down the waterfall, the same ones we'd been following for about 3 miles. Shit. So Liz and I are here on this, like, 5-day backpacking trip, and we have our big packs on and stuff, and we left some stuff at a hostel in the city of Riobamba in Ecuador, high up in the Andes. And so right about now, we're probably around like 12,000 feet. We had just dropped down from 13,100 feet at the pass, which was shrouded in mist, couldn't see a damn thing, which was a huge bummer because we were entering Parque Nacional Songay, which is one of the largest national parks in Ecuador and probably one of the most remote places in Ecuador. And so we look at each other and we kind of have this look of like, oh, well, here it goes. We're already this far. We can't go back now. We're already a night in, soaking wet. We have these rubber boots that go up to here, our farming boots, and there's probably about an inch of water in them, just from the rain coming down. And so we're like, fuck it, what's a waterfall, right? I mean, who cares? It's just a waterfall, right? It's just mud, and, you know, if we slip and break our leg, we'll die out here. It's cool. It's no big deal. We might as well just keep going. And so we did. We kept going. And our ultimate destination was this little refuge hut at a place called El Placer Hot Springs. And it's these hot springs that are about 10,000 feet up in the Ecuadorian Andes. We're about 60 miles from the equator, even though it's 50 degrees, you wouldn't believe it, and raining and really cold and wet. And so this is our ultimate goal, right? And originally we were going to go to this volcano called Volcan Sangay. We really wanted to see it blow up in the night from really far away because that sounds awesome and who wouldn't want to do that? And so that was our original plan. We get to this little town of Alao, which is about an hour and a half through a terrifying typical Andean bus ride that scares everyone, where you're on a very narrow road looking down a 1,000 foot sheer cliff to a river bottom with a bus driver who has a schedule to keep that you don't even understand. Why would anyone want to drive that fast? Okay, we start going down this waterfall, and we're like, all right, it's not that bad. There's, like, footholds and stuff, but we're slipping and we're sliding. We have our pack covers on, so they're staying, things in there are staying somewhat dry. And our ultimate goal is this little refuge, right? And we're, like, thinking, like, maybe it's something like a Forest Service cabin that you can rent here, maybe a little bit like that. Like, maybe there's a fireplace, maybe, like, a pot and a pan, right? So it seems like, you know, it's still pretty hopeful. We're like going down here. We're still about 3 miles out and we're about 10 miles in and we're soaking wet. And we're like, all right, let's keep going. So we're moving down. And then we just enter the cloud forest at the headwaters of the Amazon. And it's just dense and there's bamboo. Like, this trail is overgrown like a tunnel. But like, because no one had been down it in like a week and a half, it was even more overgrown and it was just insane. It was like the one time that you really wish you had a machete more than anything. Like, that's the only thing you want. Like, forget everything. I just want this machete so I can see something. And so we're hopping through mud and we're crawling over these like log piles and stuff. And we finally get down. We see it off in the distance and it's peaceful and it's all misty and it's in like a hanging valley. And there's these big mountain peaks. And we're like, oh, the headwaters of the Amazon. This is so cool. Like, oh, my God. And so we get down there, we open the refuge door, and it has this little porch, and the whole thing is just coming apart. It's like, it's not even a building. This is like, if you were hiking out here, it'd be like, check out these historical ruins. So we open it up, and we're like, sweet, at least there's probably a wood stove, right? No, it's just like a pile of rocks in the corner with like a hole cut out in the ceiling. And we're like, all right, well, I guess we should get a fire going. Maybe there's an axe. No, there's a hatchet about this big. People in Ecuador have, for some reason, a really big problem chopping wood. It's like a big issue that they use really weird axes and they don't seem to understand it. They need to come to Montana for like a week and they'd probably figure it out. And so they have this little tiny hatchet and I'm like looking around for wood and everything is just sopping wet. It's just been raining like crazy, right? Finally get some wood going. And I would say the 2 nights we spent there, I spent probably about 70% of that time just trying to maintain a fire. Just looking at it and like talking to it lovingly, like whispering to it and be like, it's okay, baby, you can go, you can go. It's like blowing on it. It's just like soaking wet. It's like dripping water out as it's turning into just coals slowly and it's terrible and smoky and oh, it was crazy. Anyway, so there's a river there though, which is really cool. And it's a really beautiful river and it looks almost exactly like a river that you would see out here in Montana. And I had my fly rod with me because, I mean, I live in Montana, so when I travel to other countries, I bring my fly rod with me. It's just what I do. And I was like, let's go fishing. Let's go try to catch some fish, right? So we go up to this river, and I'm like walking down towards the bank, and I'm like, oh, I'll just wade right across it. No big deal. Wrong. This water is frigid. It's like 35 degrees. Like, I've worked in rivers my whole life, and I was like, oh, no way. And so we ended up fishing, and actually the fishing was really good. And the weird thing was that we caught a bunch of rainbow trout, which they stocked everywhere. It's really strange to think that I could go walk to the river right there and catch the same exact species of fish I was catching at 11,000 feet in the Ecuadorian Andes. But that's a whole other story. Apparently the army stocked them for food in like the 60s in case of war. It makes sense, really, I guess, in a way. So anyway, we're like fishing and stuff, and we're like, okay, so we go to the hot springs too, and the hot springs are like, nah, okay. We spent like an hour in the hot springs. We're there for like 2 days. Not really anything that exciting, but really it was all about the trip for us. We just wanted to go on a backpacking trip. We'd been traveling for a while, like jumping from town to town and hostels and farms, and we decided that let's just go on a trip by ourselves. And so everything is good. We're having a great time, except for the soaking wet and smokiness of the fire, which is inevitable. You kind of just let go. And so we go up, and we have to scale this waterfall again, and we get to the pass, and it's a little more open, and you can actually see this lake through the fog at 13,100 feet, and there's some ducks swimming around in there, and I was like, oh my God, things, like, actually do live out here, which is pretty amazing. Besides, like, the incredible amount of plants everywhere, it's a lot like if you go up to, like, Glacier, and you're in the Hanging Meadows up there, it's, like, really diverse, but really, like, a difficult place to live for plants and stuff in a way. And so it was really crazy. We ended up seeing some giant hummingbirds, which are literally like giant hummingbirds. That's their name. They're like this big. It's not very giant, but I mean, it's pretty big. And they're like flying around and it's dumping rain and I'm freezing and I'm like, oh my God, like what are these hummingbirds doing? You're just like trying to die. You're crazy. Why would you do that? And so, I mean, like all in all, it was kind of crazy. We ended up going back over and coming back down, and it was kind of clear, and it was really beautiful, and we're, like, walking back to the town, and it's, like, a seven-mile-long, like, windy sort of road that no cars really drive down or anything like that. It's just, like, a dirt road, like a trail, and we're coming down the trail, and all of a sudden, these caballeros come out, and a caballero is basically a cowboy, and they were moving their cows, grazing them, and They come around the corner on their horses, totally fine. And they see Liz and I reeking of smoke, literally for months afterwards. I couldn't get the smell out of the smoke from that fire. Reeking of smoke, soaking wet, and just looking kind of miserable, but also, you know, kind of happy. And they're like, what the hell are these gringos doing right now? Like, what is going on? And, like, we, like, sort of started talking to them in a broken sort of Spanish, and they're kind of looking around at each other like, you guys are actually crazy, you crazy gringos, why do you come out here? Don't ever come back here, you're gonna die. Which was almost true, I guess. And so we're, like, walking down, and we pass them, and they're moving their cows and stuff, and we're, like, going down, and all of a sudden, we're, like, maybe 2 miles from the village, maybe a mile, and we just see this, like, here, and we turn around, and there's just this horse with, like, a saddle and stirrups and, like, everything, the whole shebang, just, like, looking at us, no rider. We're like, oh, that's kind of weird. Let's just keep going. So we keep going, and then we go around another bend, and this horse just runs back behind us, and it doesn't even look at it this time. It just barrels right past us, and we're like, oh, that was kind of weird. I wonder what that horse is doing. I wonder where its rider is. Is it okay? And so we turn around, and all of a sudden, we see this bull, this huge bull, just, like, right in the middle of this road that's probably about 7 feet wide. And Liz and I have our huge packs on. And it became clear at that moment that the bull was chasing the horse. And that's why the horse was running. And that's why we should be running. But we didn't run. And so we just kind of sat on the side. And Liz and I looked at each other. And we both jumped to the side. Opposite sides. And it's just like a stone wall on either side. You can't climb over it. And this bull just comes roaring past. And misses Liz by like less than a foot. Just like its horn. Just like right next to her. And we're like, oh crap. And it just ended up running right by. And we're just like, look at each other like laughing. Like, how did we make it down and up a waterfall through this all this crazy stuff, not die of hypothermia, not drown in a river, not get hantavirus, and yet here we are almost getting killed by a bull right next to the town. And I guess that was the biggest part of the adventure, was that it's always like right when you think you're safe, right when you're back in your comfort zone, you get pushed out again. And that's the best part about adventure, is that it never really is that comfortable, and that's why you're always getting pushed out, and that's what makes it good, and that's why we should all do that.
Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel. Custom screen printing and more. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for the best music, gifts and more. Great music, great people. RockinRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavolny of Missoula Soundworks, MissoulaSoundworks.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcast, and to the storytellers, Jim Beyer, Aaron O'Brien, Pat Abbey, David Michael Sojourn Dupuy, Carla Thielen, Kevin Bassett, Katie Asaro, Michael English, Carly Fetzer, and Ed Stalling. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about the 2015 Tell Us Something dates and themes. TellUsSomething.org. Have a great one.